of Etruria. After descending Yado Vamshe in the dynasty of Yadu. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhutabhavanaha, who is the cause of the cosmic manifestation. Kritavan, executed. Yani, whatever activities. Vishvatma, the super soul of the entire universe. Tani, all of those activities. Naha, unto us. Vada, kindly say. Vistarat, elaborately. So, translation. The super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the cause of the cosmic manifestation, appeared in the dynasty of Yadu. Please tell me elaborately about his glorious activities and character from the beginning to the end of his life. So you can repeat. The super soul.
The super soul.
The supreme personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna.
The supreme personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna.
The cause of the cosmic manifestation.
The cause of the cosmic manifestation.
Appeared in the dynasty of Yadu.
Appeared in the dynasty of Yadu.
Please tell me elaborately.
About his glorious activities
and character from the beginning to the end of his life. So purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In this verse, the words Kritavan Yani indicate that all the different activities Krishna performed while present on earth are beneficial to human society. If religionists, philosophers, and people in general simply hear the activities of Krishna, they will be liberated. We have described several times that there are two kinds of Krishna katha, represented by Bhagavad Gita, spoken personally by Krishna about himself, and Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Shukadeva Goswami about the glories of Krishna. Anyone who becomes even slightly interested in Krishna, the Tha, is liberated. Kirtanad eva Krishnasya murti sangha param prajet. It's from the Bhagavatam, 12th canto, 3rd chapter, text 51. Simply by chanting or repeating Krishna, the Tha, one is liberated from the contamination of Kali Yuga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised Yari Dekat Harika Krishna Padesh. From the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majalila chapter 7, text 128. This is the mission of Krishna consciousness, to hear about Krishna and thus be liberated from material bondage. So, Avatirya Yadurvam Se Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavanaha Anyane Vishvatma Tani Novada Vistarat. So, Omaganat Madandasha Kananjana Shalakaya Chakshur and many times Yena Tasma Ishigurve Namaha. So, this word Vistarat in the purport is very interesting. Of course, Prabhupada translates it as elaborately. Now the reason the request is made to describe Krishna's pastimes elaborately is because Krishna's pastimes previously in the Srimad Bhagavatam had been described in very brief form. You know, that very, very brief Krishna was described. So the idea is to hear elaborate means all the different details of Krishna's pastimes. Of course, we understand that even the elaborate description given in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is not actually elaborate in relationship to the extent of Krishna's pastimes, because Krishna has unlimited pastimes. Ananta Rupam, he has unlimited forms. Advaita Chuta, Adirananta Rupam, Ajam Parama Purusha. That he has unlimited forms, unlimited pastimes, unlimited glories. And you all know the story of Ananta Shesh, who has unlimited heads. That's actually what Ananta means. Ananta Shesh, unlimited heads. The snake with the unlimited heads. So even though Ananta Shesh with unlimited heads and unlimited tongues is glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he never comes to an end of the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, even though it's elaborate in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not complete. And actually, there's no question of a complete description of the Lord's glories, of the Lord's pastimes. In fact, in other universes, Prabhupada describes that Srimad Bhagavatam sometimes has thousands of cantos. Maybe there's millions of cantos, Srimad Bhagavatam. We only have 12 cantos in the Srimad Bhagavatam because we are a little bit challenged in our abilities to understand and our abilities to read. Can you imagine if we had like 100 cantos in Srimad Bhagavatam and we had to give Srimad Bhagavatam class, or even if someone had to take the Bhakti Vaibhava class, you know, exam, because Bhakti Shastri is very easy. Bhakti Shastri is just like Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, etc., like that. But Bhakti, when you get to the higher classes, you know, you got Bhakti Vedanta. Of course, there's Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Vaibhava, and all those other nice levels. If you had 1,000 cantos, nobody would ever get a degree, at least on the earth planet. So, anyway, so we're going to hear about a few of Krishna's pastimes. That's all. A few of the pastimes, because we can understand, you know, you have 90 chapters in the 10th canto. Of course, 10th canto not only deals with the Vrindavan pastimes, but it also deals with the Dwarka and Mathura pastimes. But Krishna had, let's say he was in Vrindavan for 16 years, as Srila Prabhupada said. So that means 365 days. And of course, there's probably a leap year or two, as far as I understand, or a leap month, you know, Purushottamas. So therefore, there are a heck of a lot of pastimes, even if you just have one pastime a day. And certainly, Krishna wasn't just executing one pastime a day. That would have been pretty boring. So Krishna had like maybe hundreds of pastimes on this earth planet every day, and 365 days, and 16 years. So a lot of Vrindavan pastimes occurred. And the acharyas, such as Srila Jiva Goswami and Kavi Karnapur and others, and Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, have expanded some of the pastimes from the Srimad Bhagavatam descriptions. But still, we're only hearing a very few of these pastimes. So therefore, the question is raised, or the request is made, to hear more of Krishna's pastimes, more descriptions of Krishna's pastimes. And Shukadeva Goswami is the appropriate person to speak these things, just like it's described here, that one gets liberated from the contamination of Kali Yuga by hearing the Krishna Katha. But the Krishna Katha has to be heard from a pure devotee. And of course you may say, you know, why am I sitting here? You know, or why is anyone sitting here? Are they declaring themselves to be pure devotees? But if someone is functioning under the direction of the pure devotee and pure in their eating, sleeping, mating, defending, that's Prabhupada said. In other words, then they're acting as an instrument to transmit the vibration coming from the pure devotees in our descendant succession. So it's not that I'm declaring, or Srila Prabhupada actually said elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, it says no one should sit on the Vyasasanas unless he's free from mundane sex attraction. So if we had that particular requirement, this seat would remain empty, pretty much, wouldn't it? I mean, it's not. Anyway, some of you are actually free. Okay. some of you are free. Of course, a pure devotee doesn't think he's free. Even if someone was a pure devotee, he's not going to think, hey, I'm free, I can sit on the Vyasa Sangha. But to complete to complete the verse that Srila Prabhupada quotes from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Yari Deka Tarika Krishna Padesh Maragai Guru Hoy Tore Desh. That what that means is one should instruct people, one should give Bhagavatam class, one should speak Krishna Katha on the order, Upadesh. That is Lord Chaitanya's order. You understand? Like order or instruction. Upadesh means order or instruction. Of course, there's that famous verse, Upadesha Himurkanam Prakopayana Shantaye. Then no one should give good instruction to a fool. It'll just make him not peaceful. So anyway. So this Upadesh, Krishna Upadesh, like Yare Dekat Karikara, Krishna Upadesh Marigai Guru Hai Toriyesh. And actually the instruction is for everyone to become guru. And this everyone who's qualified, who's pure in their eating, sleeping, mating, defending. What does that mean, pure in the eating, sleeping, mating, defending? Just eat Krishna prasad. If you're going to the restaurants, and we're not talking about a Hare Krishna Govinda's restaurant, but if you're going to the restaurants and eating food that's not offered to Krishna, then you're not qualified to speak the Bhagavatam. I mean, this is the basic minimum standard. You know, this is what it means that you're free from, you know, mundane sex life or free from material desires, that you're at least following externally. Of course, internally, you have to be doing it happily, not just like grumbling under your breath that you could just eat for salt. I mean, what's the austerity anyway? I find it completely obnoxious to eat something not offered to Krishna or not prepared by devotees. Just like I always give that story, speak about that story, about when I traveled with Frida Nandamars, we were buying things in the supermarket that, you know, we offered by saying Sri Vishnu. That was our big mantra, you know, from the Archanapadati. It's not there in the Archanapadati. So, you know, we would just take a grocery bag, put it up on our heads and say, Sri Vishnu. And we Sri Vishnu the whole grocery store. You know, that was our prasadam distribution. So, you know, intelligent. So anyway, and we were buying things that we enjoyed, like Thousand Island dressing, Kraft, you know, Thousand Island dressing. And, you know, we love Thousand Island. That was our favorite. And Oro wheat bread, which was at, in California, there was this company. You remember that company? This bread company, Oro Wheat. So anyway, so we were eating. But that's not pure, because after a while, our consciousness started to drop down. And we, you know, we noticed that. And of course, we were rising at about 7 o'clock in the morning, because we thought, now someone's a sannyasi, so you're liberated. As soon as you take sannyasi, you're liberated. That would be nice. It doesn't work like that. So so that's not purity in the eating, sleeping, mating, defending. You know, eating. Lord, sorry, let's talk about eating. So that's purity in eating. Only eat food cooked by devotees, or raw food that's cooked by Krishna, or cooked in the sun. And Prabhupada wrote that down as one of the strictures. You know, it's very important. And of course, I was listening to this class given by Garga Muni Prabhu. It was pretty interesting. And he was describing, it was a similar thing to New York, that the devotees would always go to the coffee shop before the class in the morning so they could wake up and have the energy and be attentive in Bhagavatam class. Good idea. And Prabhupada would see the devotees in the coffee shop drinking the coffee. Anyway, so that's not purity in the eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So, of course, sleeping. What does it mean, purity in sleeping? That one doesn't sleep too much, course, sleep too little. Nijahara viharasya. And mating, of course, that means only for procreation. And defending, one has to be careful not to offend devotees, and defending only, not one's false ego, but defending only the devotees, if someone criticizes the devotees or blasphemes Krishna. So this is what it means. If someone is at least doing that externally, happily, with the goal of becoming Krishna conscious, then they can sit on the Vyasasan, then they're empowered, given the same potency, as long as they're repeating. And they can put it in their own words, but as long as they're repeating the Siddhanta properly, Krishna Katha properly, then hearing from them has that same effect as hearing from a absolutely 100% pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course, we also distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, which is giving people directly Srila Prabhupada. So this is very, very important, that one has to be on that platform in order to have be able to change people's hearts. So anyway, so yari de kataya ka Krishna padesha maragai guru hoi tore desha. And therefore one can become guru in the sense of instructing others, because that's really the essence of being a guru. The guru essence is not performing a fire sacrifice and giving someone a spiritual name. You know, the real initiation, Prabhupada said, is to accept the person and accept instructions that, and to understand one's subservient position, as described by Narada Muni. Brahmachari Gurukule Vasandanta Gororitam Archian Dasavan Nacho. That one really has to make his life, make his home the place of the spiritual master. Not that simply I have my home and the temple is the place of the spiritual master, but one's home, one's very life. Brahmachari, one has to be a brahmachari. And the essence of being a brahmachari is not simply that one's a single celibate man, but one is dedicated to the pursuit of the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahmachari, chari, achari. Like Brahma, achar. You understand? That's what the word means. Brahma achar. Achar means behavior, how you act. Brahma achar, for Brahman. Of course, you can be an impersonal brahmachari. So the women can be brahmachari, a brahmachari needs to be precise. And the men can be brahmacharis. And Prabhupada said the grahasas are brahmachari grahasthas. So Prabhupada used that term in relationship to grahasthas too. Brahmachari grahasthas, of course, hopefully brahmachari sannyasis. Although I never heard that term being used. So, if one is on that platform, then you can preach, then you become guru. And that's what we need. We need an army of spiritual masters. So, the reason Krishna Katha is so powerful is because Krishna is present in the Katha. Just like we hear in this verse, Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nichamukto Vinatvam Namanamana. That Krishna is non-different from his name. The name is Chintamani. So the same thing about talks about Krishna or Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita or even Krishna's service is like that. If you're giving someone instructions on how to do deity worship, for example, or even giving someone instructions, let's say he's fixing Krishna's car because the generator, or the, not generator, alternator has gone bad. You're giving someone instructions. That's Krishna Katha too. Krishna's service, Krishna's words, talks about Krishna, talks about the devotees of Krishna, like Prabhupada's Prabhupada Lilamrita is also Krishna Katha. Talks about the devotees, or hearing about Hanuman, the greatest devotee of the Lord, glorifying the devotee. In fact, that type of Krishna Katha is very powerful because, as Krishna says, one who says it's my devotee is not my devotee, one who says the devotee is my devotee is my devotee. So These are very powerful Krishna katas. So our whole business is kirtaniya sadahari. In other words, always be engaged in Krishna katha. And the opposite, of course, is that, is gramya katha. Gramya katha means ordinary, technically it means ordinary village talks. You know, village talks, of course. Expanding on that means talks about, you know, politics, talks about mundane history, talks about one's family, talks about what one ate yesterday. Like, say, if you go on Facebook, you see so many people posting, oh, I made this scrumptious cheesecake last night. Nothing about offering it to Krishna, you know, really. And someone will comment, that looks yummy. I wish I was there and I could have eaten it too. So we have to be careful about that, you know. That's gramya katha. That's gramya katha. And that gramya katha contains within it the modes of nature and deviates us from Krishna consciousness. The whole business is to always be hearing Krishna katha, kirtaniya sadahari, always be chanting the Lord's holy names. And I noticed with Prabhupada, even when Prabhupada was in a doing an interview on television, Prabhupada was chanting under his breath at the same time, chanting the holy names. So, you know, in my own life, I endeavor, when I'm going to sleep at night, to, you know, chant myself to sleep, not loudly, of course, in the mind. You know, just keep chanting until you fall asleep, instead of counting sheep, which would definitely mean you become a sheep or a lamb in your next life, you know. So if you died at night. So, you know, you just chant all the time when you're in the shower, when you're wherever you are. And then also, Amarge Guru Vaitore Desh, whenever you get an opportunity, just like I was, several times I've been with Vaishya Shekhar Prabhu, and wherever he is, you know, in the airport, he always carries books with him. So he's always seeking out opportunities to give other people Krishna. It's amazing. And he always has books with him, you know, small books or some books with him. So that's the point. Always be engaged ourselves in Krishna Katha and always seeking out the opportunity at every moment to give other people Krishna. Because to see and understand how other people are suffering due to their karma, are, let's say, not going to have a very good destination in their own lives or at the end of their lives, so, and to just to feel that compassion, it's very important. It's, you know, it's very inspiring to see a devotee like him. So, anyway, so let's see, what else can I comment on? So, here the dynasty. Yadu, we already talked about the Yadu dynasty, and I think we covered everything else. So, any questions or comments? Yes?
Certainly the standard, if you really read it, about who a guru is, who can speak,
yeah,
seems very daunting.
Yeah.
However, there must be, I'm thinking, the transcendental nature of the words themselves. Sometimes
yes,
we see even persons who are perhaps not so pure speaking. I'm thinking of some of these memories.
Yes.
And certainly the people who are memorizing, who are speaking about Prabhupada, sometimes they're not well situated.
Yeah.
Does that change the potency of what they're saying? Because I get a lot of inspiration, and I know the person speaking, you know, they may have been separated from devotees for the years or something.
Well, according to the Shastras, it does change. I mean, you got different verses, which I'm not going to mention right now. It does differ. It does depend upon the person speaking. You know, there is some dependence according to the Shastra. However, when they're speaking about Prabhupada, it's also evoking anew a remembrance, and you're connecting not only through the person who's speaking, but you're connecting through your own memories and through your own knowledge of Shastra and your own devotion of Prabhupada. Like, certain things can wake us up to Krishna consciousness that are not in and of themselves potent. And I'll give you an example. In the Bhagavatam, you have the story of, well, which Sri Nanda Maharaj calls enlightenment by the natural path. you know, the Avaduta Brahman. So he gives stories about, you know, how he's woken up to Krishna consciousness, or, you know, woken up to self-realization by observing things that really are not at all connected to Krishna. Like, I mean, for example, Pingala. And I'm not comparing the people speaking about Prabhupada Pingala. That's not really where I'm going. So, I mean, certainly there is potency. They're speaking about Prabhupada. They have love for Prabhupada. Wonderful. But as far as the full potency of the words, that has to be spoken by someone who is pure, at least pure in their eating, sleeping, mating, defending. That's the statement in Bhagavatam. I'm not changing that. I can't deviate from that. So what happens is that you watch this lady, no, not that you should watch Pingala, but the Avaduta Brahman, he was watching Pingala, and she was looking for customers. Not a very good thing to meditate on. You know, a prostitute, she's standing there all night in a doorway. You know the story. Come here, young man. Looking for love. And then she ultimately, at the end of the night, you know, no customers. She just gives up hope and, you know, surrenders to Krishna or whatever. And then he understands this material world is hopeless just by observing that. And he becomes inspired with Krishna consciousness. Or he observes the pigeon, Kapota. You know the story of the Kapota, the pigeon? He observes the pigeon, the male pigeon, the female pigeon. They're very happy with their little pigeon family. And what happens is the hunter puts out a net, catches the little baby pigeons. The lady dives down to try to save her kids. And she gets caught up in the net. And then the man, he faints and he falls. The man, not man, but anyway, the male pigeon falls into the net. Prabhupada tells the story in a different way that's quite humorous. I don't know if you ever heard. Prabhupada tells the story, he changes it a little bit. He says the man sees his wife and kids in the net, and then he takes sannyas. In a class, Prabhupada. Not in the Bhagavatam, but, you know, one time Prabhupada was giving class, and he changes the story. It's really interesting the way Prabhupada changed it. So, certain things can evoke in us, and I'm not commenting on people's purity, but certain things can evoke in us our own remembrances or our own realizations or understandings about this material world. You know, when I, you know, like if I see some unfortunate thing happening, I mean, for example, sometimes you read the news, which is Brahmikata. Anyway, sometimes I engage in Brahmikata, read the news, and I hear about some unfortunate thing, and I think how miserable this material world is, I have to take shelter of Krishna. So even material things can preach to me like that. However, I'm sure that there's some potency. They have devotion for Srila Prabhupada and everything like that. But as far as the full potency, I think it's not an all or nothing thing. That's another point I wanted to make. As far as the full potency, it has to be transparent. Just like my glasses sometimes, they fog up or they get dirty. And I can see. You know, I can even see the deities with them when they're fogged up. But it's not as nice as when I... Of course, I can see without my glasses now anyway. But it's not as nice as when I take my cloth here and clean the glasses. It's actually a clearer vision. So I think it depends on the purity of the person, too. So it's not that I think. I know it depends on it. That's what it says in the Bhagavatam. You know, it depends on the purity of the speaker. But at least Prabhupada has empowered us, if we are pure, you know, as far as bringing people to Krishna consciousness, if we are pure in our eating, sleeping, mating, defending, he's empowered us to preach Krishna consciousness. It's not that we wait until the point that, you know, you have no material desires. If I waited that long, I'd be waiting eternally. And I wouldn't get purified because the method of purification is Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnu Jangam Mangalam Angasam, is to engage in preaching. You know, so there is, you know, there is a difference in purity. Obviously, if you hear directly from Prabhupada, I mean, that's zingy. But Prabhupada has also empowered us to carry it forth if we're following strictly. if we're following strictly. Does that answer that question? Yeah, did you?
Yes, Mara. So I have this question about, you're talking about how Krishna Katha is, it's all Krishna Katha.
Yeah.
But sometimes we also hear devotees referring to that we should have a balance between the actual philosophy and the pastimes of Krishna for our nourishment and spiritual life. Would you like to comment?
Well, I would say they're equally purifying. I mean, I don't think, I mean, of course, people do like to hear pastimes, and it's a lot easier for people to listen to and concentrate on. I mean, just to be practical, if you tell me a story about Krishna, you know, feeding the butter to the monkeys, it keeps my mind absorbed much more than hearing how not the body for the 10 millionth time. I mean, I have to be practical about that. But the potency is the same, because within the words of the pure devotees, you know, Prabhupada's words, are the saffron dust particles of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, why would Prabhupada so much emphasize the basic philosophy, you know, the Siddhanta, over and over and over again? You don't hear Prabhupada get so much into the pastimes in his presentation. And the people are getting purified by hearing these things from Srila Prabhupada. So I would say they're equally purifying, because they're also Krishna Katha. Of course, people have a taste for hearing a particular type of Krishna Katha, but as far as the ability to purify, it depends on the purity of the speaker and also the purity of the listener. And the attention, you know, purity and intention of the listener. But I wouldn't say that, I really wouldn't say that Krishna's pastimes in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing them is more purifying than hearing the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I wouldn't say that, and the Vedic literatures don't state that either. They're both equally purifying. Bhagavad Gita, I mean, I relish Bhagavad Gita, and I've been reading the Bhagavad Gita for so many years, and I find it equally relishable with the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Maybe I'm just on a lower platform, but anyway, I find it equally relishable.